Hey everybody, it's Camille, and we're about to dive into realistic marketing expectations. They will make you or break you. Hello everybody, welcome to the Get a Hand Up podcast. I am Camille Forte, and today I'll be helping you get a hand up in marketing and business. It'll be a good topic today, especially today, because I had a personal experience with this topic today. It's about realistic expectations in marketing and how well you're getting through to the people that you're trying to get business from. Now, before I go any further, I do have with me the incredibly intelligent, illustrious, and talented, and impatient. Who are you?
I am Randy Orton, the Viper, because he RKO'd Nia Jax yesterday in the Royal Rumble.
The Viper.
Mm-hmm. The Viper.
You know, folks, a lot of times I just let him say his name for the day and move on.
Viper.
Anyway, realistic expectations in marketing. Now, this is huge. I wanted to call this podcast, you know, What to Expect When You're Expecting, but apparently a pregnant person already hijacked that name, so, you know, we'll keep it real to marketing and business. But the reason is a lot of people have over expectations. I haven't come across many who have under expectations, but one way or another, most of the reason that a lot of businesses, business plans, or just campaigns fail is because of improper expectations that were set from the beginning. So if we can go over some of those and knock out what is realistic, what is not realistic, then hopefully after this podcast, you'll be able to move forward, and whether it's a business idea or even just a campaign, you'll be able to do it with a much higher chance of success.
You know, when you speak about success, Camille, it's funny because 2018 was a big year, you know, of course, for yourself and myself. We both of us got very busy. And one of the funny things is about, and when you look at client expectations, there was a meme on social media. It was a top picture of Game of Thrones that says what clients expect from us. And the bottom picture was a snowman that looked like some 8-year-old built outside their house.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And this is client budget. And the funny thing is that most clients expect projects to be done 75% faster than organic growth. And it's funny when you and I were talking about this before the podcast, like how people, you know, when we talk to clients, we say, hey, if we're going to go organically, which we do, to grow your business online, it's 3 to 6 months. And here they are on the third week calling, you know, screaming at us like, why haven't I got 1,000 likes, which I'll get to in a moment. Why haven't I did this? Why isn't my ROI, you know, this? Or like they start throwing buzzwords that they hear from other sales pitches, thinking that that's going to help them grow. And it is so funny when I hear that.
It is sad. First of all, sometimes it's not even 3 weeks. We've had experiences where it was literally 3 days.
Yeah.
And likes are not leads. Comments are not cash. Okay, let's get that out of the way.
What was the last time your mortgage company said, hey, give us 1,400 likes a month and we'll, you know, that will fulfill your debt?
Exactly.
But use a filter, we may give you a bonus.
Oh, yes. And it's not just about, you know, that they expect it to be done more quickly. They don't understand. I guess this is why it's always recommended that you set out KPIs, key performance indicators, before you start any sort of campaign or anything like that. Sometimes it may be hard to nail down a certain KPI, like you will get X number of likes. If someone promises you X number of likes or Y number of comments, run. Because
they're selling you snake oil.
Yeah, chances are they're bought likes. I can get you 10,000 likes overnight on Fiverr if I want to, but if I come to you and I show you that I have increased your reach 250% in a few days by using actual strategy, I'm a little taken aback when someone comes back and it's been less than 72 hours and they say, but we haven't sold anything yet.
May I touch on this for a moment, Camille?
Please do.
So here's an interesting statistic. Almost every client expects social exposure to go up 250%. 250%. Okay, keep that in mind in the first month. And the thing is, when people use like Fiverr, I don't even think people use Fiverr anymore. When people use like day one eggshells or different types of formats to get a lot of likes and a lot of followers and so forth, it is proven by 89%. Keep this in mind. You may retain those users which are dead, you know, dead social media users, meaning they're just dead profiles, no one ever uses or anything, but your growth organically suffers by 65%. Because the search engines now start to see you as a false site or a false news site. So they don't give as much exposure to your site or your brand because they see not a lot of dead social media profiles following it.
Folks, when it comes to marketing, when it comes to business, if you really want it to work, it has to be legit. Whether it's the people who follow you, the engagement rate, your exposure, what you're selling, what they're buying, every single link in the chain has to be legitimate or it will break. I mean, that's just a simple fact.
Yes.
You know, I have gotten more than 250% increases in far, far shorter than a month. But like I said, realistic expectations, you know, I've experienced clients who say, well, that's great, but no one's purchased anything yet. And it's been less than a week. And, you know, so the question is, well, why?
You know, the interesting thing that comes up, you know, I was doing a lot of statistical work for the new year, and this came up for another client that we were working with. And client expectations, and this is something where, as a marketer, you know, Camille, yourself and other marketers and people that are looking for a marketer in the industry, you have to set up expectations. Yes, your marketer's there for you. You know, you have questions, you can shoot them an email, give them a call, text message. You know, he or she will get back to you. A good marketer's always been known to do good things for their clients. But there's an expectation that I don't like that marketers and boutique marketing companies and stuff, that, you know, that you're expected to be there 365, you know, 24/7, 365. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you have to realize you may come up with an idea that may help your product, but let your marketer come up with ideas to strategize the marketing campaigns that will drive your product to people to get them to get those sales. By contacting someone at 4 a.m. with an idea that you have without you even thinking about it, it's not going to help yourself or your marketer. Now, another thing, I'm sorry, Camille, I know you want to comment on that. Every boutique that I know and every small business owner says, oh, I have a nephew or a niece or a cousin or son or daughter that knows social media. And my first answer to them is like, okay, if your mortgage company or your bills could be paid by likes and hearts and comments, then none of us will ever have to worry about money ever again. You know, do not. And as much as you think that your son, daughter, niece, nephew, your niece or whatever thinks that they know social media, which they may know how to use it as an individual, they have no clue, none whatsoever, of how to drive business, you know, people to your business. They have no clue whatsoever, and that's one of the worst recipes for disaster for small business.
Can I give a quick analogy
on
that?
Please.
When is the last time that you went to a hospital, a doctor, anything like that, and said, well, you know, how effective is this drug? And they say, well, I let my cousin try it and it worked. Are you going to trust that?
I know my family and the answer is no.
No, I mean, really, it's there are, I hate to say this, but as a person who is fully trained in entrepreneurship, solopreneurship, and helping, you know, the dream come true, so to speak, one of the reasons that I prefer to work with at least mid-sized clients is because of unrealistic expectations. And if I have an impromptu business meeting at a very inopportune time, and I'll touch on that in a moment, and I find out that it's because of someone's niece or cousin or nephew who doesn't agree with a business strategy, as a professional, that means nothing to me. I go by data. I go by facts and research, not one person's opinion, because not a single business would be alive today if it were based on only one person's opinion. That's called a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before, what you were saying about, you know, timing, and remember that your marketer is your partner. They're not just the hired help. If you find a good marketer with a good work ethic and integrity of business strategy, make them your best friend. And the better you work with them, the better they will help you grow. I'm sorry, it's just an honest fact.
You know, it's interesting about facts is that, do you know that 82% of businesses fail within the first 6 to 9 months when they try to self-promote, you know, like over hashtagging each picture on social media, or, you know, not using proper implementation of using, you know, paid advertising through, you know, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, you know, I could keep going, like even Snapchat. If you market wrong, you're going to end up spending more because you think that your first marketing campaign is wrong. Where almost every person that I've met that's a small business owner has no clue how to market themselves online. And that's what leads to failure, because when you try to homebrew everything, you know, and it's good that you're a small business owner, but understand that you have to reach out for skill sets and traits that you may not possess, because somebody else may possess those things. And yes, you have to pay for it. You know, you get what you pay for to get those results.
Exactly. And it's funny you said homebrew. Like, let's say you've started a new craft beer. You know, that's great. You may be a master brewer and you may have the next best craft beer to hit the market. Chances are you didn't go to school for business, or you haven't been working in the business world or the marketing world. And so, you know, we all know the expression, the last can of Coke in the desert. You may have the last can of Coke in the desert, or the best can of Coke in the desert, but there's so much more to that. You need to know how to get people to that can of Coke. You need to explain, you know, convince them why they want that Coke, because maybe they'd prefer root beer, maybe they'd prefer lemon lime or juice. And also, we today are, as people, are bombarded with over 5,000 marketing messages a day. The actual number is about 7,000, but taking into account the fact that a lot of people are now using ad blockers, that only cuts roughly around 2,000 messages a day. So you still have to cut through the noise of 5,000 marketing messages per day in order to convince someone that yours is the best and that they need it and want it.
You know, it's funny when you mention that. It kind of brings me up to Jeffrey Lantz's rule of seven.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and I remember we were talking about this on the train ride back from New York earlier about that rule. And if you guys don't know it, look it up on Google. It's a very interesting set of rules and everything from Jeffrey Lantz. But I'm going to let Camille touch on that.
Yes, please look up Jeffrey Lantz. That's Jeffrey with a J. Lantz is L-A-N-T. And the reason I ask you to Google Jeffrey Lantz's rule of seven is because every marketer, marketing agency, platform, you name it, they're all trying to take credit for this. And the fact is, Jeffrey Lantz was the first to establish this generalization. And basically, it takes seven touches, not just touches, but for now, touches, minimum to your target audience before they will even consider purchasing or converting into becoming a customer or a client. Now, this rule was set several years ago. So take into consideration that number, about 5,000 to 7,000 marketing messages a day. That seven, depending on your industry, your product, your service, that may now be 10, it may be 12. And by touches, we don't just mean impressions of your ad. It means being able to cut through the noise that we just mentioned. It means conveying who you are as a brand, what your product is, and the need. So there's noise, there's knowledge, there's need. And you need to penetrate your target audience's consciousness a minimum of 7 times effectively before they will consider buying. So, you know, if you do get that 250% increase in exposure in a new strategy for social media posting, it would be unrealistic for you to say, why hasn't anyone purchased yet? It would be very realistic to say, hey, we just accomplished one or two of those critically needed first touches into a new audience, a bigger audience.
It's interesting you talk about that, Camille. It's that...
You can call me Cam.
Yeah, I've known you, 11 years?
Yeah.
What it is that, like, I'll give you the example, me being a big Transformer fan. I know the brand, I know the product, I know the toy line, I know almost every character that comes out, new and old, but it takes me a rough 6 or 7 times, I would say, to look at pictures, look at description, the size, even go on Amazon or third-party sites that I purchase from all the time before I make a purchase, even though I know I want this action figure, this Transformer. I know I want it. I know it's going to be opened and played with and put on the shelf, but it takes me an average of 7 to 10 times to look at photos, videos, and even customer reviews before I even touch the Pay Now button on Amazon.
I know this because it's hard to walk through the office with the amount of Transformers around.
They're all interns.
Okay. But there's actually a really strong point behind that. You are already a huge Transformers fan.
Mm-hmm.
So you're someone who's predisposed to Transformers.
Over 30 years.
It still takes you 7 to 10 touches. So imagine you're someone who's trying to reach a new audience. Maybe you are new in your industry, or you're offering a new service, or you've only been in business for that 6 to 9 months that we mentioned earlier, in which 82% of businesses fail. Imagine what it takes to penetrate the consciousness of your target audience if Viper here takes 7 to 10, you know, looks at, he's on the website actually looking at the product, thinking about it. Imagine how many touches it takes if you're presenting something that's brand new that people have never heard of before.
Mm-hmm.
They better be strong touches, and you really better be penetrating the consciousness of that target audience so that they know you and remember you.
You know, realistic expectations in marketing is simple. Understand this. If you're going to market something to your general audience, how do you perceive products and goods and services yourself? You know, it's easy for us to say, okay, here, snap of a finger, everything's going to be done. I'm going to have thousands of people placing orders on my website. You know, I'm going to have hundreds and thousands of likes on my Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, so forth. But the realistic expectation, wow, I can't even say that word 3 times, is that in order for your business to grow, it's kind of like growing a plant. It's not going to grow overnight.
Mm-hmm.
You need to nurture it. You have to have great soil, sunlight, water. You have to take care of it. You need to help it grow. And, you know, hiring a marketer, hiring sales staff, you know, hiring customer service staff, that's the realistic expectation, is that as much as you put into it is what you expect to get out of it. Please, ma'am.
You know, if I could touch on that for a moment, another thing is knowing your entire supply chain or fulfillment chain. You may have heard me before argue that, yes, you can get fabulous B2B leads on Facebook. A lot of people argue that you cannot. Not true. I've gotten amazing C-suite, high-income B2B leads for a client before for as low as $2.50 per lead. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about complete information that could be input into any CRM. And this client did absolutely nothing with the leads and said, well, what am I supposed to do with this? Well, In line with realistic expectations, you get what you pay for and you don't get what you don't pay for. So if a marketer brings you leads, have an idea of how are you going to then nurture those leads, like Viper said, water it, give it sunlight, nutrients. Don't then look at the same marketer because there's a difference between marketing and sales, and get yourself a good salesperson. Or if you're going to DIY it, have your own plan in place and how you're going to reach out to those leads, because that would be like going to a 5-star restaurant, having a fabulous meal cooked for you, and then staring at the staff and saying, well, which of you is going to feed me and mm-hmm. and pick up the fork and put it into my mouth?
Yeah. Don't expect someone to bring you groceries. Then they get mad at them because they can't cook it for you.
And also, what you don't pay for, don't expect someone else to pay for as well. It, like I said, every link in the chain has to be legitimate. And so if your offering is seriously out of date, let's say you want to sell informational videos or coaching videos or some sort of knowledge product, an info product, and your videos happen to be years out of date, poor sound quality, you can barely hear what the person is saying, they were done with somebody's cell phone while on vacation, do not expect someone to pay any significant amount of money, if any, for that.
Mm-hmm.
With all of these marketing messages, you know, the average person on Facebook sees an ad every 2 minutes at least. And on Facebook, it's every 4 minutes at least. So no matter what you're offering, no matter what industry you're in, you have stiff competition. And so you better be offering quality. And if it wasn't done right, do it again.
Very so true, Camille. So to kind of wrap up everything, you know, expect your marketer to work with you, you know. And when Camille and I work with others, we kind of have to be their teacher and their partner at the same time to kind of educate them on realistic expectations. If you are going to hire, you know, any type of marketer, ask for realistic expectations. You know, have them give you a checklist of what they can do. And if it seems too good to be true, 9 out of 10 times it is.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing you want to do, and you have to understand, by 2021, 2 years from now, we're going to be doing so much business online that brick and mortar stores, even though they'll still exist, will probably have a good 60% of their profits from online services than they do from people walking in. You don't believe me? Go to your Amazon, you know, profile and see how much you've ordered in the past year.
In fact, most brick and mortar businesses that are still open today, with the exception of your local pizzeria, things like that, most of them still are alive because they did go through the digital transformation of putting at least half of their business online.
Mm-hmm. Very true. So one thing that we're going to do in 2019 as we're growing here is I'm going to force Camille to write a blog on Blog Wednesdays and post it. And we're going to do a quick couple of minute video on Friday where we're going to post on all the social media platforms for Camille. And, you know, where she'll talk about this topic and everything. And, you know, this way, you know, again, guys, if you guys have any questions, guys and girls, if you have any questions, use the hashtag. What's the hashtag, Camille?
Ask Camille.
And, you know, ask your questions. This is a, you know, this is a kind of the slow month for a lot of businesses because, you know, Christmas is over, the holidays are over, people are paying down their credit cards. So
that means it's good planning time.
Exactly, for the spring and summer and fall and getting into the next Christmas season. So again, any questions you have, big or small, use the hashtag Ask Camille or hit her up on social media. You know, she's always on there.
There is one question we didn't answer.
What was that question?
How to touch.
I'm not touching you.
I'm not asking you to. How do people touch their customers?
I'm not asking them.
There's video. Mm-hmm. There's email. There's YouTube YouTube Live, Facebook Live.
Twitter
there's
Live.
There's webinars. There's email. There's direct mail. There's a reason that people pay a lot of money for those little printed things.
They're called menus.
No, not menus, you tool. You know, with your little, like a pen or a shot glass or a flashlight that has your name and number on it. It's to try and get repeated touches of your name or your brand into people's minds. So
very true.
It's important to know what's a good list of ways that you can touch your target audience.
Mm-hmm. So with that, Camille, let's go ahead and wrap this up. You'll have a blog out by Wednesday, hoping maybe a short little white paper on this that you could share with, you know, all our listeners.
Maybe I'll make a list of how to touch your audience, as weird as that sounds.
Oh, that's for another podcast. But no, you know, guys and girls, use the hashtag AskCamille. Don't be a stranger. Camille will have a blog up on Wednesday and then a short video on this topic on Friday. So for a Feel Good Friday, we're going to have Camille talk about this and take, you know, answer any questions. What? It's Feel Good Friday.
Touching your audience on Feel Good Friday. How to really get through.
How to start your weekend.
This is the beauty of the podcast, folks. It's a lot more personal and, you know.
Yeah, here's Camille wanting touching everybody on social media.
Not until Friday.
Mm-hmm. Again, guys, thank you so much for tuning in, giving us your 26 plus minutes to, you know, hear this podcast. This is Viper.
And Camille.
And thank you so much for listening. And we will have a new blog next week on Monday. Take care.